house of the Lord. It's good to come together. Amen. We do want to welcome everyone who's watching by Facebook or YouTube later. We pray the Spirit of God to be upon your heart and upon your life, and we welcome you here. Amen. And we pray God's Holy Spirit would move upon your hearts and upon your lives. You see, it's the Spirit of God that brings life to a church, an individual, a town, a family, a country. You know, yesterday we can't say celebrate, or we just remembered 9/11 and the horrible things that happened that day. Buildings that were destroyed, that's the least probably, but the lives that were taken. Over 2,000 individuals that were working, firemen, policemen, good Samaritans on the way, that were destroyed, their lives. Their families were forever broken and destroyed by this tragic event that happened 20 years ago. We know that it's only God that can help us as a country. We know it's only God that can move upon a country and do a mighty healing and work. We just came out of the country of Afghanistan after being there 20 years. We left the people, the men and the women that gave their lives were heroes and what they did. But we left not on good terms, so say. But a tragic event of going in there, and I know we had to do certain things, but to come out the way we did was not good politically and not good physically also. And now we see a regime that has taken that country and is bringing horror upon it. We pray, God, help us. Give us wisdom. Give our leaders wisdom. As I was thinking about those things, and this is just really introduction, saying, Lord, what can we do? There's a scripture that came to me that it says in Psalms 46:10, it says, be still and know that I am God. God still has hope for our country. I know, look, let me tell you this. We live in the greatest, the best country ever. Ever. And we have people out there, and we have the evil world out there that is trying to bring destruction and destroy this country from the inside out. But they don't realize this. They have hit a wall, and the wall is Christianity. Amen. It's God-loving people that still know how to touch heaven and the throne room of heaven. And that's our only hope. That's our only hope. It's like you saying, Pastor, are you sure? Yes, with God, there's always hope. When the children of Israel came out of Egypt, they had gotten all their possessions. People came out with them. They were led by a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night, and they got to the Red Sea. And they said, what do we do? Mountains on either side, the army of Pharaoh coming out, Egypt was coming after them. And they said, what do we do? And they went to their leader, Moses, and God spoke to their leader what to do. That's the same exact thing that is happening to our country today. We are at the threshold of what do we do when our enemy's on the front and on the sides and they're coming after us from the back. But you know what? Our greatest asset, the president may not know this, but we can inform him, the greatest asset he has in America are Christians that know how to pray and seek God. That is his greatest asset. And here we see, we are at the threshold as a country looking to, there's an enemy in the front, there's enemies on the sides, and there's an enemy in the back. And what do we do? We do like what Moses did. Let God speak to Moses. Let God speak to the preachers. Let God speak to the preachers that God has put over the churches to lead and guide the churches in the right direction by the Spirit of God. And we know this, that God spoke to him and said, point your rod. And as he pointed that rod, it says that the sea opened up to them, and they were able to get to the other side. We as pastors look to the Word of God and saying, Lord, show us what to do. But I tell you what, the church itself has to get back to being still before their God and letting God speak to them by the Spirit of God. You see, we can do all kinds of activities and do all kinds of stuff and good things, but if it's not led by the Spirit of God and that's not what God wants, it will not mount up to a hill of beans. Because we need the Spirit of God to move upon the church. We need the Spirit of God to move upon the country. We need God to breathe the breath of life of the Spirit of God upon our country like we've never seen before. You might say there's no hope. Yes, there's hope. There's hope till we die. Because God has put hope in His Word, and He's given hope to the church that He's coming back for us. And we have hope that God can breathe upon our country again and be what God desires and wants us to be. There's hope, people. God's not finished with the church, and God's not finished with this country. We pray, Lord, forgive us. We humble ourselves before Him, and we let God move upon what He wants to move upon, giving a hope and a life upon the church. Let's take our Bibles and make our declaration before Him. Say, this is life. I will honor it today as this word brings life to my spirit. Life to my spirit. In John 12:32, it says, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. We know this. It probably has a twofold purpose. But God is saying this, lift up my son and let me show you what I'll do. Yes, you see? Lift up my son. If I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. We know this. It probably has a twofold purpose. We know this, that Jesus was lifted up upon the cross. And when he did that, he died for all of humanity. And he, through the Spirit of God, has drawn all men by his Spirit. We know that today, all of us, of his forgiveness upon our hearts and upon our lives. But also it's a twofold purpose. If a church or an individual or a family will lift up, or a country will lift up Jesus and lift him up high, that the Spirit of God will invade that place and come into it and will change the hearts of men. You see, that's what we need. We need a touch from God. We need God to come in. To the churches, please come in. We need him. We need him. We need him in the churches. We need him. Not that we just want him, but we need him. And I know some pastors think they can run things on their own and it's okay, but it's not going to last. And there will be no anointing. There will be no power. There will be no authority. There will be no victory. But we need the Spirit of God in the churches, that God can move at will within the churches and do a powerful work within it. If the church changes and trusts Jesus and seeks after Jesus, the country will change. It will. It will. And you know what? Political office will change. Maybe God is showing us we don't trust a man. We had 4 great years. Let me tell you now, just politically, we had 4 great years, I'll be honest with you, where the church was booming and things were moving. But God said, you don't trust a man. Now, there's nothing wrong with the man. That's not his fault or anything. And then God gave us what we have today. And look where the church is today. And look what's happening. God is saying we trust him no matter what. We may get, we are at that river, that Red Sea, but God is about to point the word. And God is looking for preachers and people that will take that word and stand upon it and point to that Red Sea and point to the enemies and tell them to bow their heads and bow their feet before God. And that we quote that scripture and we get it out to the people and tell them this is what God's word says. Standing upon his word, quoting that scripture. Make sure it's the right word, and we have to rightly divide that word. Because even old Satan knows the word. You know, when he tempted Jesus, he left a little part out. Remember that part? He quoted the scriptures, and he didn't read the next scripture that condemned him. But that's okay. That's how he is. He's a deceiver. He's a deceiver. But you see, God has given us this word so that we can sharpen. It's like a sword that is sharp on both sides, cutting to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. Praise God. Praise God. You have victory, people. You have victory through the cross of Calvary. Not because of what we've done, but because of what Jesus did at Calvary's cross. The cross needs to be the center point of the church. Not the pastor, not the people, not the church building. None of those things matter to God. He wants us to have good things. There's nothing wrong with that. But we should never look to those things. We look to Christ. We look to Jesus. We look to the Father. We look to the Holy Spirit to give us help when we need that help, to give us wisdom when we need that wisdom. The power of Almighty God. Jesus, mighty man of God. I mean, just a great, great God. He was born in Bethlehem, but he grew up in Nazareth. They called him a Galilean from Nazareth, which wasn't far from Bethlehem. At the age of 30, Jesus' earthly ministry started. And we know his ministry lasted for about 3.5 years till his death. He prepared, hallelujah. Oh, yeah. God, the Holy Spirit, the Father was preparing our Savior to do the mighty work that he had to do for us. Always be appreciative. Always be appreciative to him. Always. As Christians, sometimes we get up, we go do our stuff, we eat breakfast, go to work, come home, pray a little bit, read, and just a daily, and there's nothing wrong with a daily routine. But don't forget who Jesus is. Don't forget what he did for you. Don't forget the death that he paid on Calvary's cross, not for himself, but to bring back the Father and mankind back together. He's the binding agent. He's the gorilla glue that never lets go. What God has done for us. It says Jesus, his ministry lasted for 3.5 years till his death. He went throughout Cana, Caesarea Philippi, Bethsaida, Capernaum, Jericho. He went to the Mount of Olives. He went to all those places and many, many more, ministering and doing many things. Jesus, and we're going to look up, and I want you to turn to Isaiah chapter 61. We'll just go there. Isaiah chapter 61, page 12. Isaiah 61, please. Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61 talks about our Lord Jesus. Now, it's an amazing thing what God can do. It's an amazing thing, huh? What God can do. As I look out, and I know a lot of you and what you've gone through, but how God has just restored and helped you guys. Seeing what God can do in your heart and life. The restoring of what the devil tried to take from you. And how God stepped in and stopped the enemy. Here we see Isaiah talking about Jesus. And let's read verse 1. And probably verse 2. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn." Read verse 3. "To appoint unto them who mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified." Here we see Isaiah in chapter 61, verse 1 and 2, writing this down by the unction, and that's just by the Spirit of God. Now, you have to understand, Isaiah, from the age of 15 to 85, they think, Isaiah was a prophet. He was a prophet of God. This man started preaching when he was 15, and he ended his preaching at age 85. God bless you. But you see, he started to preach the gospel at 15 and ended at 85. It says how miraculous this is. Listen to this. Isaiah 61, verse 1 and 2, was written approximately 800 years before Christ. Okay? How great is our God? I wonder how many things the Spirit of God has written about us and what He's going to do in our hearts and in our lives. Since the time we were conceived physically, and God sent that spirit to come in to that human being in our mother's womb. I wonder how many things the Spirit of God has written down or has been written in the books of heaven for us. Individually, collectively, as a church, you as a families. How many things God has written down and has proclaimed in the heavens for you, and especially since we gave our hearts to the Lord, the day of that receiving of Christ into our hearts and in our lives. You might say, well, is that God, is that concerned about us? Does God have that much specific plans for us? Yes, He does. Our God is a very intricate God that knows everything about us. The amazing thing is the scripture says He even knows the number of hair that we have on our heads. He knows how to take them off and how to add them. That's an amazing thing to me. That is just really to tell us that He knows everything about us, and He will do everything He can for us to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to this lost and dying world. That He will move mountains if He has to. to make sure that what he has for you and I will come to pass in our hearts and in our lives. That's why Psalms 46:10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." Because sometimes we get so wound up and we're going here and doing this and doing all, and some things are good and I'm not, and we have to work. We got to do certain things. But I tell you what, we need to take time with our God and be still. That means get with him. Holy Spirit. Father, we love you. We praise you and we honor you. That the Spirit of God could come in and do the mighty work that needs to be done. Don't ever think you've arrived. When you think you've arrived, you backed up. Don't ever think that. Now, you want to go on in Christ. Come on now. You want to keep going on. And sometimes we take a few steps back, but that's okay. You get up, get on your knees or whatever, and repent before God. Ask God to forgive you, and you get on that road again. Come on now. Get on that road again. Get on that. The devil wants you to stay down. He doesn't want you to rise up. He wants you to stay down. And let me tell you, we have that sin nature in us. That's in us. Thank you, Adam and Eve, wherever you are. Because they're not sure they made it into heaven. Because they stopped making the sacrifices that they had to do. They stopped it. They stopped doing it. So we don't know 100%. If they actually made it into heaven. I hope. But you see, we gotta do everything we can to be still before our God and let God move. Look, there are some secret things that God wants to speak to us about. There's some little things that he wants to bring detail to. Because sometimes we don't realize as we're walking. And it says to walk with the Lord, don't run. Walk in our walk with God. Sometimes we don't realize that we've taken a little turn. Could be a belief of some kind. It could be what we're doing or what we're saying. And we start to go on a different path. And God has to bring us back to that correct path that we need to be in. Be still, people. Be still before God. Be still. I mean, and let God move. He's going to tell you things about your life. He's going to tell you things you don't want to hear. But that's okay. He knows what's best. He's going to tell you things that you want to hear. Remember, he's a loving God and he's our Father. And we're led by the Spirit of God. And God's Holy Spirit needs to move. And we need to allow the Spirit of God to move. And when we do that, he takes stuff out and he puts things in. He takes stuff out and he puts things in. That's going to happen till we close our eyes and die or Jesus comes back and splits those eastern skies. Beast, and so what we do is we just stay on that surgery table. Okay, Lord, keep working, doing the work that needs to be done in us and through us. Here we see Jesus gets up. Oh, also, you know Isaiah, you know how he died? You got it. The king, a wicked king, took Isaiah, 85 years of age, put him in a hollow log. So they had it, they knew what they were doing, and they sawed him in half. Because he spoke the truth of the gospel. People, one little word and we go crazy. We need to have a stamina for the gospel of Jesus Christ, people. We need to stand firm in the things that we believe. According to the word, it has to be rightly divided. Stand firm in the things of God. and let God move upon us. Move upon us, that we would stand firm as men of God, as women of God, that we would stand firm to the beliefs that we know are true in the gospel's sake. Does it matter what the government says? It doesn't matter what the world says. If it comes against or is against the word, it is wrong. It is wrong. But we got to stand firm, be still, and get, you see, being still, saying, Father, I need you. I can't make it without you. And I'm not, you could be still in your car, your bathtub. You know, you could be still, you know, as your bubble bath and stuff, and you just laying there, you know, relaxed. Anywheres. But if you be still before him and let God speak. Be still before him. Let God speak. Be still before him. Let God speak. Be still before him and let God speak. And let God move as we worship and honor him and praise him for who he is. It says, we're going to read in Luke, Jesus went back to his old stomping grounds of Nazareth. The only time he ever went. And there was a synagogue there where people could go in, as you usually would do, it says. It says an occasion where he often went to the synagogue. Now there was synagogues all over. You know what I'm saying? Where the scriptures were read. The Old Testament, not New Testament, the Old Testament was read. And Jesus went to his old stomping ground, as it says, as usual. The one time that he went back. Because you see, his headquarters, look at this. He was born in Bethlehem. He was raised in Nazareth. And his ministry headquarters was in Capernaum. Three different cities, three different places. Amazing, amazing, amazing. But he went back to Nazareth, and he went to the synagogue there, as usual. He would go to the synagogue wherever he was. You know what that means? He went to church. He went to church. Go to church, people. Go to church. Fear, and I know I talked about this a little bit last week, but fear has gripped the church. People, and let me tell you, look, I know how it is, and I know a bunch of you know how to be laid out for weeks, you know, of seems like it's not even getting better with this COVID stuff. I mean, it's bad, I know it, but let me tell you this, we do what the word says and not what the political people say so much. We do what God says. We come together. Now, let me tell you, if you're not feeling good, stay home. You know, that's how it is. You're running fever. Hey, look, that's in anything. That's in anything. I know all of you have common sense. You know that. You are bright people. You know that. But God's word says, don't forsake the assembling of yourself, because there's something about corporate worship that adds to your spirit and my spirit on the inside of us. We do what the word says. Okay. I mean, I've talked to I don't know how many people over the last few weeks, and I just try to, don't be fearful. Don't be fearful. Don't cower in the corner and die. Come out of that corner and live. 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 Live your brightest days. Live and let God move through your heart and move through your life. Let God do the mighty work that he needs to do. But Isaiah, in chapter 61, verse 1 and 2, the scripture was fulfilled in Luke. Look at this. He prophesied it, or because he was a prophet. But in Luke chapter 4, Look at this. He was talking about the creator of the world, our God. Luke chapter 4. Look at this. Look at verse starting with, you can, yeah, start with verse 4. That would be, Luke chapter 4, starting with verse 15. Start with verse 15. It says, "And he taught in their synagogue, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book, the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written." Now, I'm going to stop right there just for a minute. He walks into this place, the synagogue. The scriptures are being read. He goes as a visitor because he hadn't, this is just coming back, sits there, and they come, and they could have brought him any scroll in the Old Testament. You know, it wasn't written down in books like this. It was scrolls that they would write it down and copy and bring it. They brought him that chapter. He didn't ask for it. He just came. They brought it to him because anyone basically could get up and read the scriptures. And he got up and he started to read the scripture. And it says this in verse 18, "And the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them who are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." What he quoted was the exact same basic thing of what Isaiah had wrote in chapter 61, verse 1 and 2. What he was saying is, now you have to remember, he walked up and he was fulfilling the scripture. You can keep it up, please. He walks up, they bring him the scroll, and he gets it, and he gets up in front of all these people, religious people, Sadducees, Pharisees, all those people, and the common folks all there. And he starts to read, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." And he might even use some gestures of, we don't know, because he was a preacher. He was a preacher, he was spirit-filled from the time he was baptized. That spirit came into him. And he said, "And because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor," he's saying, "I'm the one that Isaiah talked about. I am preaching the gospel to the poor." And he wasn't so much talking about poor in money, but he was talking about poor in spirit, which we all are. Poor in spirit, unless God does a mighty work and pours his spirit inside of us. And also it says, "He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted." How many of you have been brokenhearted? I mean, look, we've all been brokenhearted by certain things, by events that happen in our hearts and in our lives, by whoever. Brokenhearted. The brokenhearted God, Jesus said he's come for, to heal the brokenhearted. You have a Savior that knows how it feels to be alienated and to be talked about and to be killed by his own people, you'd say. He knows how it is to preach deliverance to the captives. He's the guy. He's the God. I'm sorry about that. I shouldn't have said that. He's the God that brings deliverance to the captives. Brings deliverance to the captives. We will help prisoners. We were prisoners to old Slewfoot. Before we got saved, our father was not God Almighty, but our father was old Lucifer, because we had not we have not accepted Christ as our Savior. But once we did that, Jesus became our father. So we will help captive. But I tell you what, God came and set us free because of what Jesus did at Calvary's cross. The Spirit of God was upon our Savior upon the earth, and He preached deliverance to His people. You don't have to be captive anymore. You don't have to be captive to the enemy or his tactics anymore. But as we trust our God, as we put faith in our God, He alone can give us direction and help when we need it. And recovering of sight to the blind. Not so much the physical, and He can do that too, but to help us to see the truth of the gospel. Recovering of sight, to see the truth of the gospel. Also, to set at liberty them that are bruised. People that have been bruised and hurt, God will heal. To preach the acceptable year of the Lord. But you know, the Spirit of God was upon us, and He said, I fulfill. And look, He sat down, and you can read the next few scriptures. He sat down after He read it, because He's saying, I'm He. I'm the Savior. And it says all eyes was upon Him. Some were loving Him. Some, if they could kill Him, they would have killed Him right then. The hatred in their eyes. Because you see, He had been preaching all over the cities around about, setting people free. And His fame was rising up. That's why when He was on His way to Jerusalem, it says that as He was riding the donkey that had never been ridden before, or the colt, it says that they put the palm branches in honor of Him. His fame, they could hear it in the cities of the praise and the worship that went forth on Him. You see, today, God has set us free. The Spirit of God is upon us. The Spirit of Almighty God is upon our hearts and upon our lives. As we trust Him, He will lead us and guide us. As the Spirit of God was upon Jesus, the Spirit of God, now, we're not gods at all. We humble ourselves before Him, and we trust in Him, in who He is. And He leads us and guides us in the direction that we need to go. If it wasn't for what God did in Moses' heart and life, the children of Israel would have been destroyed. Destroyed. God looks for men. God looks for women that will take on the banner of righteousness, that are saying, hey, I will not bow to the things of the world or to the enemy's sake, but will hold up the banner of righteousness and say, this is right, this is wrong. And doing it with a loving spirit, to love them because we love them. And look, we don't want to see anyone go to a place where God is not. And that's H-E-L-L, hell. No one. We want to snatch and do everything we can to try to stop that from happening. To hand out and to do what God says to do, to constantly preach the gospel. It says that He preached the gospel. Preached the gospel. That just means heralding forth, giving out. And let the Spirit of God move upon your heart and upon your life. That God can use you to touch the people that are around about you. Lord, give us our families. Lord, give us our friends. Lord, give us our enemies. Oh, I heard a yes. And oh, amen. Good job. Lord, give us the people, no matter what. Help us, Lord God, to win as many as we can by the gospel of Jesus Christ. But you see, it takes the Spirit of God to take our word and penetrate the hearts of men. We cannot, our word will fall away. But I tell you what, God takes our word mixed in with the Spirit of God, and it penetrates, the arrow penetrates the hearts of men. That's what we want. To penetrate the hearts of men and women for the gospel's sake, so that people can come to the knowledge of Christ. We need to let God move like He wants to move. It takes prayer. It takes humility before God. God doesn't like arrogance. God doesn't like anybody taking a credit for anything He does. He will not share the glory with anybody. Zero. 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 No one. We got to make sure we stay humble. Lord, help us to stay humble, and that the Spirit of God could move upon us. That as we do the things of the Lord, that God's Holy Spirit is penetrating the hearts of men as we speak, as we do the actions of our Father, whatever He wants done. We need to allow the Spirit of God to move and let Him move in the way that He wants to move, because only He can change the hearts of men. The church has the answer for the world. The world does not have the answer for the church. No. We have the answer, and His name is Jesus. Through the cross of Calvary and what He did. He can bring deliverance. He can set the captives free. He can bring sight to the blind. That's the kind of God we serve. And you know, one day He's coming for His church. One day that trumpet will blow, and the dead in Christ will rise first, and we which are alive and remaining will be caught up in the air with Him, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's coming back, people. He's coming. And He's coming for a church without spot or wrinkle. I said, Lord, I don't know how You're going to do that, but we put our faith is through the blood of Jesus. That's how God sees us, through the blood of Jesus. And we are without spot or wrinkle because of the blood and the sacrifice that He made. Praise God. You may stand, please. Hallelujah. Praise God. As every head is bowed for just a minute, please. Every eye closed just for a minute. I want to ask you a very important question. And you that are watching by Facebook, YouTube, do you know Jesus? Have you accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior? If you have not done so and you'd like to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, would you please raise your hand so I'll know. Amen. As far as I can see, everyone here is saved and ready to be with our God. But you know, we might have people watching that need to pray. So let's pray this prayer together. Say, Heavenly Father, I ask you to forgive me of all of my sins. I accept you as my God, my Lord, and my Savior. I believe that You died on the cross, and You rose again from the dead, and You're seated at the right hand of the Father. Your will be done in my heart and in my life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may look this way. Amen. I tell you, it was a pleasure preaching and teaching you today. Remember this, that Jelaine and I, we love you, we appreciate you, and we thank God for you. And as Andrew comes to close us in prayer, I pray you have a great week, that God will do a mighty work in your heart and in your life. Amen. God bless you.
Father God, as we leave today, I'm asking you, Father God, that you will put a blessing upon each and every one of us as we go forth, Father God, to touch the hearts and the lives of someone this week, Father God. Help everyone to have a safe trip home. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Amen.